Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the latest Hawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from CSN. This episode, I sit down one-on-one with the sod father, Brandon Saad. But first, Vivid Seats is your one-stop shopping for all Chicago sporting events tickets this summer, as well as concerts, theater, and a whole lot more. Visit VividSeats.com to grab your tickets today, and make sure you subscribe to the Blackhawks Hawks Talk podcast on Apple Podcasts. Here's my one-on-one with Brandon Saad.
Well, first of all, what was it like for you growing up in Pittsburgh?
It was good, you know. The Pens came off of two championships there. City was buzzing. I loved growing up, you know, great friends. I think everyone in our block was the same age, so we'd all gather on the cul-de-sac, whether it's playing football or street hockey, things like that. So we had a tight group there, and it was definitely a lot of fun.
So from that Pens team, was Jágr your guy? Was Mario? Who was your hockey idol growing up?
Yeah, I mean, they're both up there. You know, it's tough to pick one, but those two guys are pretty special players. And Lemieux maybe a little bit more with what he did for the city of Pittsburgh and being around so long. But yeah, they were both ones I watched a lot.
So how crazy was it when you first were on the ice with Jágr playing a game? Was that, that had to be weird?
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. You know, it was my first game actually. We played Dallas, and I was 18 at the time. Getting to line up to a hockey idol and someone I watched all growing up was pretty surreal.
Your dad, George, did he have an affinity to hockey at all, or did you have to kind of set the family straight on, okay, this is the sport I really want to play?
Yeah, he didn't have too much, but I think, like I said, with how the Pens did, and I had cousins that played. My mom ended up taking me and my brother to rink, and after that, everyone fell in love with the game and kind of been by my side since, so that was the start.
Corby, way to go.
Yeah, I'm sure it's Shinowski.
Okay, all right. At what point did you know the NHL was like a realistic goal? Was it when you went to that development under 18, or like what point did you say, okay, this could be my career path?
Yeah, I think that was right around the time. Before that, I was 15 or 16 playing up on the under 18 team in Pittsburgh. And I always try to play up levels with my brother in higher competition. So I had success, and then getting scouted by the national team there, getting offered to go there, and then talking to some schools and some junior teams. So I think anyone who gets a chance to play for that team has the goal of playing in the NHL and considers it realistic. So I think that was probably around the time.
2011, draft day, you're taken in the second round by the Blackhawks. Yeah. Do you remember that day well?
Yeah, I remember it very well. In Minnesota there, I had family all there cheering me on. So we were all waiting to hear my name, and just so happened to be by a great franchise, original six team, team coming off a cup. That was all pretty special day for me.
In 2012, you're with what, Saginaw, right? The
yeah.
OHL?
Yeah.
And you lead the OHL in points, almost 2 points per game. Mm-hmm. Was that a huge maturation process? I think you guys lost your captain, and then they named you captain
of
the team.
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
So was that kind of a big confidence boost, not only as a player, but a leader on that team?
Yeah, I think it means a lot. You know, as a player, you want to be yourself. The year before, I played a couple games for the Hawks and went through the training camp and then got sent down. And you can bring all that leadership and things you learn from those older guys down. So I had a good year that year, like you said, and being named captain is just an honor, really, with a group of guys, but doesn't really change who you are or anything. It just it means a lot to be respected by the group.
You get called up to play in the Stanley Cup playoffs in 2012, right? I mean, that's a huge jump. You had to have a ton of nerves, right?
Yeah, for sure. I was coming off, like you said, a junior season, and I think Hossa got injured, and a few guys were out, so I got the call up to come play, just to be here. And then Stan tells me I'm playing that night, so it was pretty surreal. I have family and friends fly in for that game to see my first playoff game. Just trying to skate around as fast as possible. I was pretty nervous at the time, but these guys always make you feel welcome.
You ended up with 2 points. What was that, the next game, or was it the first game that you...
I think it was the next game.
Okay.
Or maybe 1-1, I can't remember exactly, but when you get put out with some great players, that stuff happens.
2013 comes, we're in a lockout situation. You were sent to Rockford ahead of time, so the vets, a lot of them were playing overseas. Did you look at the opportunity to play in Rockford as a great way to get yourself prepared for when that lockout was over to hit the ground running?
Yeah, I think it was a great stepping stone where, like you said, most of the pros were overseas, but also they had some guys coming down that played in the AHL for other teams and for Rockford, so you get to learn from other guys and play against some of the best, and for that, that's a huge development for making the NHL, learning how to be a pro, going through a schedule. All that falls into play for that.
Did you think you had a roster spot locked up for 2013, or did you go into, I mean, that was a crazy year because of the lockout, or did you think like, okay, this is going to be, I have to kind of prove myself, or I might go back to Rockford?
Yeah, I think it was definitely prove myself. You know, just because I got a game or two the year before, still a young kid trying to make the big squad, and I know guys were getting called up throughout, and for me it was just trying to play my best and showcase yourself, and hopefully be a part of the team. Whether I think even my first game I was part of the team, but I didn't play, and then injuries happen, and you get your chance, and you just got to be ready for your chance.
So you're ready for that chance, and this team's ready. I mean, you get off to that epic start. Do you remember the 17th game, which tied the NHL record? You got the shorthanded game-winning goal against the Sharks. What do you remember about that
game? Yeah, actually, I do remember. It was, like you said, it was against the Sharks, and it was actually here in Chicago. So I think it was also maybe a third-period goal that had happened. It was coming down the left side off a rush on the penalty kill. Just try to throw it on net, and it went in, I think, low glove, if I believe. So that was definitely an exciting part of my career.
Team has amazing success. You're a Calder finalist that year. Why do you think you were able to have such a smooth transition from juniors to the NHL?
Well, I think for me it was trying to be as prepared as possible. And then the other thing that falls into play is coming into a team that you're playing with great players, and they help you become a better player and push yourself. And every day you're around that, you push yourself more and you become a better player, playing under Q, obviously, and then playing with great players, like I said. So preparation and also getting put into a fantastic situation.
So the 2013 Stanley Cup playoffs are underway. Is there a goal, before we get to the finals, is there a goal or a game that stands out most in that 2013 run?
Yeah, that was my first crack at the playoffs. So I was playing well, but I wasn't finding the back of the net until I think it was the finals. First game against Boston was my first goal. So that one definitely sticks out.
What about all those overtimes? I mean, you look at that Boston series, or you had it even in against Detroit.
Right.
For a young guy, what's it like in that room between overtimes?
I think with the leadership here, it was kind of business as usual. These guys have been through it. For me, it was my first time, but just talking to each other, who's going to get it. We had confidence in our group that it was going to be on our side, so go out there and chase it, and they were definitely special moments to be a part of, though.
The infamous Game 7 against Detroit, Chalmerson scores with like 1:30 to go. Looks like it's going to be the game winner. So okay, that happens, you guys, it gets wiped off, you got to go to overtime. And there's been different stories, like, you know, we're going to go out there and win that game twice or what have you, that Tave said. Do you recall kind of anybody standing up or what the dialogue was like? Because that's a really, I want to say devastating, it's like it's a hockey devastating situation that you look like you had advanced to the next round, taken away, and then you got to go find the, you know, the moxie to go do it again. So what was going on?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of emotions. You know, like you said, you think you win it, and then you're going back into the locker room, going into another overtime, and it's tough. But like you said, with the leaders coming out and speaking, and just saying we're not going to let that affect us. You know, you're always going to face adversity in the NHL throughout a game, and I don't think with our group we're going to let that phase us. Everyone was still confident that we can get the job done still.
Game 6 in Boston. Did you think we were coming back to Chicago for Game 7?
Yeah, that was pretty crazy too. You know, you think you're coming back for Game 7. We score. You think you're going to overtime. You end up scoring quickly again. So that was another whirlwind of emotion, something new for me too, being on the bench watching it, kind of in shock. I think we still had a minute or so left, minute 30 left after, that we still had to play the game and focus and finish the game. But what a special moment.
Do you remember getting the cup handed to you on the ice?
I do, yeah. I think it might have been from Shazi. I'm just waiting. I was the youngest on the team, so waiting in line, waiting for my turn, watching everyone do it. But regardless, it's pretty unique to get my first one at that age and a great building playing in Boston, too.
Do you remember your day with the cup for 2013 and what you did and what that experience was like?
Yeah, I took it to, my uncle has a lake house in Pennsylvania that we took it to, and that was just to enjoy it with family and friends, the people that support you along the way, to give back and enjoy that moment. So we had it there. We went back to my parents' place and took it to another spot to kind of socialize with people and have everyone out to see it.
So you win in 13, 14, the infamous, you get to Game 7 against LA, and then 2015 rolls around and another epic run to the title. You guys win it all. You win your second cup. You know the reality of the cap situation. Did you feel confident, though, that, like, okay, we're going to figure this thing out? Did you think that at the time that you were going to find a contract and be able to stay here?
Yeah, I definitely did. You know, I knew we were tough against the cap, but teams come up with some crazy things to get things done. So obviously I had a great start to my career here. Didn't think it was going to end that soon, but I'm happy to be back now for sure.
So 15 days after winning your second cup, you get traded. Right. That had to be, I mean, you're on the top of the world, the mountain, hockey-wise, but then it's like, okay, this is the business side of it.
Right.
That had to be a real difficult summer. Was it a tough summer considering everything you'd just been through?
Yeah, it was very difficult. I think the biggest thing, too, like you said, coming off a cup win, you have that relationship and bond with players, and then it's my first time getting traded, so that's all new for me. You see the business side of it quickly, and it's bitter at first, you know, it's tough, but then you just got to move on, and as you get older, you realize it's a business, and that's just part of the game.
I would guess that I consider Pittsburgh kind of part of the Midwest, the landing in Columbus was probably a good spot for you personality-wise. Was that a good experience and a good fit for you, kind of being not too far from Pittsburgh and having that kind of that Midwest?
Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, it happens, and it was definitely a good spot to end up. You know, I had a good couple years there, learning experience, like you said, being close to home, family and friends getting to come down all the time, and you play home in Pittsburgh more often too. So the first year was tough, obviously, with the record we had, but then the next year we picked it up with a young team and had success and get another taste of the playoff action. So I can't say a bad thing about my time there. But like I said, it's good to be back for sure.
What's the biggest difference between Joel Quenneville and John Tortorella?
Biggest difference, just the way they go about things. You know, they're both good coaches. They both have had success. But I think Tortorella is definitely a little bit more emotional. At the end of the day, though, they're both such competitive guys and care about their players. So they have a lot of similarities. But just, yeah, the coaching style for sure.
You got engaged over the NHL All-Star break last year to Alyssa.
Yeah.
You guys go way back, right?
Yeah, way back, yeah. Yeah, we actually, we've known each other since grade school. So we've been together and I figured it was time to do it now. So it's exciting for sure.
What's it been like to have her through, you know, this career that you've had so far that has had a lot of highs and just, you know, like anything else, had some down spots, maybe the trade or just, you know, the tough first year in Columbus. What's it been like to do it with somebody that knows you so well?
Yeah, I think that's the special part. You know, we've known each other for so long and our families get along great. And she's been there through the cup runs and like you said, a lot of success. So it's great to look back and hopefully show our kids one day that we were together back then and through those awesome moments.
You get the surprise that everybody else did right around the NHL draft this summer that you're coming back. First response was what?
I was shocked at first. You know, you get the phone call, you don't expect anything, and then you hear you're traded. Not only traded, but back to Chicago. So it was shocking, but then after a little bit, I'm going back to a familiar place where I had success and a place I love to play in. So really, it was just pure excitement after that.
Because you probably go through this thing where you know, when you leave a city, you're like, okay, well, I got to dedicate myself to Columbus, so, you know, I have to, you know, great times in Chicago, but, you know, new chapter. And all of a sudden, it's like, now I got to shift gears and, like, go all in again. Was that transition easy for you? Was it hard at all?
I don't think too much. You know, it's hard going to a new place you're unfamiliar with. So going through all that's difficult with getting a new place and meeting new teammates and finding how the city operates, things like that. But at the end of the day, you're a pro. You're going to play hard for whoever you're playing for. And it happened to be Columbus, but you never know. Whoever you play for, like I said, you're just looking to win hockey games and enjoy yourself.
Being a Pittsburgh guy, seeing what the Penguins have done, seeing that they, you know, won the Cup in 2009, and then they had a couple rough years in there, and people have the question, all right, you know, are they done? And lo and behold, with, you know, a salary cap situation similar to the Blackhawks, with some young talent, they won now three over the last decade.
Yeah.
Do you see some similarities between the Penguins and the Blackhawks in that regard?
Yeah. I think when teams have success, you can see the similarities in the teams and maybe even the style of play. So being around Pittsburgh past couple summers have been long for me and short for them. So you get to watch the game and sit back and observe. And it's pretty special what they did, too, with winning it back-to-back. So. As a hockey player, it gets you excited, I think, and you want to embrace that challenge and try to make it you one day. So there's no short of hunger of coming back to Chicago and looking to win more championships.
You're a young guy, just 24, but hockey-wise on this team, you're in that grizzled vet area. do you find yourself kind of coming back with a little bit of a different role this time around?
Yeah, I do for sure. You know, coming in, I was just a young kid, you know, I had a lot of success, but I was still fairly young, and now I got some more experience under my belt, been to a different place and back, so I'm feeling comfortable, confident in my abilities, and I definitely want to take a leadership role for sure.
Take hockey out of the equation. What's the one thing you missed most when you were away from Chicago the last 2 years?
I mean, it's a great city. You can go up and down the line of things to do, great food, great people. Obviously, hockey's a big reason why you enjoy that with winning, but it's a place where when you win hockey games, you develop those memories and relationships. And so the city, definitely, when you think of it, you think obviously first of hockey, but there's a lot to do. So I've had a lot of fun out here with family and friends, and I'm happy to be back.
Of all your nicknames, Sodder, Sodfather, Manchild, yeah. Mini Host, do you have a favorite of that group?
I don't know. They're all pretty funny. You know, I hear them. You could go down the list, like I said, but the one that sticks out that's pretty funny, I think, is maybe Sodfather. When I first heard that, it was pretty funny when I heard it. So they're all good, though. You know, I don't know. I can't even remember now which came from what person or fans came up with them, things like that. But they're all pretty funny and special.
Well, here's to hoping Sodfather Part 3 is your third cup. Thanks,
thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
And that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Hawks Talk Podcast. Our thanks to Brandon Saad for sitting down and talking at the Hawks convention. Remember, Vivid Seats is your one-stop shopping for all Chicago sporting event tickets this summer, as well as concerts, theater, and a whole lot more. VividSeats.com to grab your tickets today. Make sure you subscribe to the Hawks Talk Podcast on Apple Podcasts. I'm Pat Boyle, and we'll catch you next time.